And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, we're going to get into a pretty deep subject. We're going to talk about whether you are a failure or you achieve success. Nobody that I know wants to fail, yet there are times in our life when we fail. When you choose to succeed, success is your goal. When you choose to fail, failure is your goal. Now, all of us that had any type of formal education at all, one of the things that they taught you in that education was how to succeed. At least that was the theme, right? So you choose to succeed and you are taught to succeed. But unfortunately, as we go throughout life, sometimes we get ourselves in a situation where we don't succeed. Now, let me take you back to maybe when you played sports. Okay, maybe you were on an organized sports team. Maybe you were in an individual sport. Now, I know there's some of you that didn't do anything competitive, and I get that. So those of you that didn't do anything competitive, just play along with us, okay? When you're in that competitive world, your number one goal is to succeed at whatever the task is. These are the successes that we always strive for. Yet when we're competitive, sometimes we tend to fail. You become a failure. You hang your head low. You feel like you've let everybody down. Yeah, come on. That's exactly what failure feels like. Now let's compare that to success. Let's say you got up to the plate and on the first pitch, man, that pitcher threw you a ball that a sixth grade kid could hit over the fence. How do you feel now? You feel like you've not only achieved success, you've maximized success. There is nothing more that you could do in the game of baseball offensively than to hit a grand slam. Now, there are people that know baseball way better than I do that might argue that point, but I'm just here to tell you, you would be elated if you hit that grand slam. So, failure versus success. It's ingrained in our minds at a very early age. We are taught to be competitive, whether we want to be competitive or not. We are taught to be competitive. In the classroom, do you not compete with the other students for grades? Now, some of you are in classrooms where that was exactly what was going on. Everybody in the class competed on a curve, right? And everybody was measured along that curve, and you competed against everybody in that classroom for your position of success. Now, other classrooms, a little bit different. They grade you on a scale, right? They say, okay, if you get 80% correct, you earn a B. If you get 90% correct, you earn an A. If you do less than that, you get a different letter grade, right? So you're competing essentially against yourself. You're not really competing against the other kids in the classroom, but you got to take that grade book home to your parents, right? And that might feel like, even though you feel like maybe you succeeded, even though you feel like you did everything in your power to succeed, you got to go home and you got to face mom and dad with that grade book full of B's and C's. And maybe they make you feel a little bit like a failure, right? Okay. And some parents are different than others. Some are encouraging and they say, hey, you know what? Not a problem. Shake off the dust. You'll do better. Other parents are like, oh, you better get your grades up. You better get your grades up or you will fail in life. And some parents are in between, right? And I don't know where your parents were, but I can tell you where my parents were. My parents were the type of parents that would look at the grade book. And because I usually got very good grades, occasionally I'd get a bad grade and they'd make a comment about the bad grade. But because I had good grades for the most part, I at least maintained a B+ average. They were cool with that. And then I found out later in life why they were cool with that. Because my parents were C average students. Yeah, when they were in high school, they were happy to get C's and they were good to go. Neither one of them really went into college. I think they both tried college. I think my dad lasted a year in college and college did him in. My mom tried to do like some junior college stuff. I think she earned enough credits to get an associate's degree. But beyond that, I don't even think she petitioned for the associate's degree. I think she just went there to get some skill sets so that she could get a job in the workplace. Okay, so those are my parents, all right? What does all this have to do with real estate investing? It has everything to do with real estate investing because there are two paths that you can go by as a real estate investor. You can choose to succeed or you can choose to fail. The choice is completely yours. I can't tell you which one to do. Now, I can tell you which one I would recommend you ought to attempt, but I can't tell you what to do because you are your own person. You make up your own mind about most things, unless it's work-related, in which case your boss has a play in that, right? Okay, so let's get back to the real estate piece. Success versus failure. How do you guarantee your own personal success? What are some of the things that you can do to help effectively achieve success? Well, the first thing you've got to do, you have to educate yourself. Yeah, educate. Yeah, education. And I know some of you are like, oh, man, does that mean I have to sit in the classroom? Does that mean I have to listen to people that know more than me tell me about something I don't know anything about? The short answer is, yep, that's going to be the way it's going to be. Now, it may not involve a classroom, but it will involve some type of classroom setting. Or maybe you get your education from a book. Or maybe you get your education from, now get this, the radio waves or a podcast, like maybe I'm educating you right now. So education can make a big difference as to whether you succeed or you fail. Simple as that. So getting the right education is paramount to your success. Now, Lifestyles Unlimited, that's one of the two things that we offer our members. It's an education on how to correctly invest in real estate. And when you go through the education that we provide, you achieve success. And when you get to a point where you achieve something called failure, well, in our culture, when you fail, the first thing we have you do is we go to the back of the book. What's the book? Oh, the book is about a 140-page manual that every member of Lifestyles Unlimited receives. That's how we educate you on success. We actually hand you a copy of the roadmap, and you learn from that roadmap. It's pretty cool. But at the very back of the book, one of the things we have you write in the back of the book is, I will not do what Del Walmsley told me to do. So when you have failure and you're meeting with somebody about, well, I just don't understand why I didn't achieve success in this particular area, we tend to have you look to the back of the book and remind yourself of you probably did something that's not in the manual. That's why we have you write it at the back of the book. We call those members the back of the book club. Now, it's not a place you want to be, but it is a place that our members find themselves from time to time. And the whole point of being at the back of the book is to re-engage you on the education and refocus you on the successful path that you should be following. You make corrective action and you start succeeding again. It's kind of cool. It's very cool, actually. All right. Here's another thing I want you to do. I want you to get a mentor. I want you to have a mentor. Now, who should you choose as a mentor? Should it be a man or a woman? I don't really care. Should they be tall or short? I don't really care. Should they be black, white, red, yellow, orange, purple, black, green? I don't know. Maybe I didn't describe somebody. I don't care. I don't care what they look like. I have no desire to judge them on their appearance. What I choose to do is make assumptions about their expertise. Yeah, assumptions about their expertise. Because a mentor is somebody who's been there, done that. They've gone before you. They've achieved success doing exactly what you're trying to do. And they help you out. They keep you on track. They keep you focused on the path that you're following. If you have a problem with something, you run it by your mentor. Because your mentor's probably dealt with that particular situation. They can probably give you very specific guidance on how to solve that problem. Mentors make a huge difference, and they can really help you out before things go wrong in a real estate transaction. I have seen it work within the Lifestyles Unlimited community time and time again, where a member's having a problem. Maybe they bring that to my attention, and I listen to them, but my job is not to solve their problem before them. My job is to essentially educate them on what they already know and to steer them back to their mentor and have them ask those very specific mentor questions to their mentor, because that's part of the reason they have that mentor. They shouldn't be straying away from the mentor and coming to me, because that's like asking mom and dad about the same thing, right? Because you're playing the two against each other. You're hoping to get the result that you want to get. And sometimes a mentor is going to give you the result that you didn't want to get. They're going to give you the information that you didn't want to hear, and it's the information you need to hear. Yeah, that's what mentors do. Now, here's one other thing I want you to do when you're thinking about the real estate that you're choosing to acquire. I want you to focus on one target area, and I want you to do a lot of research. You heard me correctly. A lot of research. What do I mean by focus on one target area? I don't want you to go, my goal is to buy one single family house in the United States of America. That is too broad. Do you know how many different housing markets there are in the United States of America? I have no idea. I thought maybe you did, because I would tell you this, there's a lot. There's so many that I have no desire to count them. And by the way, that's kind of a shotgun approach to your goal setting. You shouldn't be doing that. What you should do is you should focus on one, two, maybe three areas that you think have potential to make you money in real estate. Now, where do you find out information like that? Talk to your mentor? Yeah. I'm sorry, I sounded facetious, didn't I? Well, I meant to be facetious, because it was a trick question, even though there was no question involved. Talk to your mentor. Your mentor's got their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the markets. They're talking to other Lifestyles Unlimited members. They're advising them as they invest in different marketplaces. And because of that, they get exposure to the different marketplaces. They can see what different members are doing in different marketplaces, and they can get some trend analysis going that maybe you didn't even think about, and share that information with you, because after all, they are your mentor, and they are there to help you succeed. Very much so. They want to see you succeed. So once you pick out those maybe one, two, or three different areas, I want you to focus on one area in particular. Let me say you said Texas, all right? You want to invest in Texas, and you're deciding on Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. When we come back from the break, I'm going to pick it up from there, and we'll decide on which one you should choose. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next. Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And the choice is yours. Do you want to succeed, or do you want to fail? It's up to you. It's completely up to you. Now, what I'm doing on today's show is I'm walking you through a scenario where you could potentially succeed. Yes, you could succeed. But if you do something wrong, or if you choose maybe not to take my advice, there is a high probability that you might fail. Yeah. Now, success and failure have been built into our psyche since we were very, very little. We know all about it. We know the joy of success. We know the bitterness of failure, right? We know that we choose to succeed. We don't like to fail, but sometimes you get a dose of both, right? Now, some of you are thinking about doing this real estate investing stuff, the stuff that I do, the stuff that the people I bring onto the show do, the stuff that Mike Harrison and Andy Webb do, the stuff that Del Walmsley does, the things and the stuff that 50,000 plus active members of Lifestyles Unlimited do on a daily basis. Now, how do we make sure that all of these people are successful? How do we do it? Well, I've already outlined a couple things for you. The first thing is education. Yeah, you've got to get the right education. It's as simple as that. I know my English is terrible, but don't focus on my English. Focus on what I am communicating to you. Get a qualified education. And don't just read some random book that you found off the internet. Don't just take some random course that you found off the internet. Don't just do something random. Do your homework and determine whether or not the information that they provide to their students is beneficial to their students. I will tell you, there are education companies out there that compete with Lifestyles Unlimited that do not achieve the success rates that we achieve at Lifestyles Unlimited. They don't do it. And the reason they don't do it is because their map doesn't work as effectively as ours. Now, you can go there and get trained by those folks. And if you do that, just understand that you may get a flawed roadmap. The roadmap that we're going to give you, has been in existence for 34 years. 34 years. Members of Lifestyles Unlimited have been doing all the things that we do to achieve success. So isn't it important to go someplace that's going to teach you correctly? Let's say you want to be a truck driver. Do you go to the truck driver school that just helps you pass the test? Or do you go to the truck driver school that actually teaches you how to drive a truck correctly? I would go to that one, not the first one. Yeah, I'm just saying. All right, so your education makes a difference. And the other thing that I pointed out was that your mentors can really help you out before things potentially go wrong. If there's something that looks like it is problematic, run it past your mentor. Your mentor has probably had experience with it. And if not, they probably know somebody who has. And they have that information between their ears and they're willing to share it with you. So your mentor, a huge combat multiplier for you. Education and mentors, number one and number two in your list of things to do for all of you newbies out there. Focus on one targeted area. One targeted area. Now, as we were going to break, I said, you know, you could say, well, I want to buy real estate in the United States of America. And I would tell you that that's too broad of a definition. You're not focused on any particular target market. So then I said, well, maybe you decide you want to invest in the great state of Texas. And you're looking at three primary cities. You're looking at Dallas-Fort Worth. You're looking at Houston. You're looking at San Antonio. Okay, now you're starting to get your scope a little bit clearer and a little bit narrower. You're narrowing down on specific target markets within the Texas market. So then the next thing you have to do is pick one of those. Pick one of those cities. Now, how do you do that? Well, you compare the three cities based on what your goals and objectives are, what you're trying to achieve. You get all this out of the education. So it's not like you don't know how to do this. You're going to look at each of those three markets and you're going to look at what those markets can provide to you as a real estate investor. Maybe it's cash flow. Maybe it's equity growth. Maybe it's equity capture. Maybe it's a combination of two. Maybe it's a combination of all three. I don't know. Your goals and objectives, not mine. And then when you rate those different cities based on what they can do for you, that's going to narrow you down to a particular city. Let's say, for giggles and grins, I am not making a suggestion you do this, by the way, but I'm just saying, let's say we pick Dallas-Fort Worth, okay? So we're going to focus on the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Now you have a major metropolitan city. It's still too large. What you need to do is you need to hone down into maybe the smaller cities or the smaller neighborhoods within that big city that offer the right type of asset that you're looking for. So you're not looking for custom homes on a golf course. So you can eliminate all those neighborhoods, right? You're not looking for neighborhoods where the entry level pricing is $600,000 or more. That doesn't make sense to us as real estate investors. We want to be in that $150,000 to $250,000 price range. So we're going to look at neighborhoods that have the ability to provide that. We're also going to look at neighborhoods that aren't brand new. The reason we're going to look at neighborhoods that aren't brand new is specifically because we're looking for older stock of property. The reason we're looking for older stock of property is because, now get this, it tends to wear out over time. And people don't do the requisite maintenance that they should do to prevent failures of the systems within the property. So over time, that property can wear itself out and it can really just get into a state of disrepair to a point where nobody really wants it anymore. It doesn't compete well in the marketplace. Most people don't want to rent it. Nobody wants to buy it to live in it. So what do those sellers of property do? They look to sell the property and they look to sell it the best way that they can. And then I, as a real estate investor, would look at that asset and I would make a determination. Now, this all comes from the education, folks. I would make a determination as to whether or not the amount of money that I would need to put into that asset returns the amounts of money that I need it to return in the form of cash flow and equity participation. Yeah, I said a lot, didn't I? But everything that I just said is all patterned to help you succeed. I want you to focus on one target area and I want you to do your research. I want you to know that area like the back of your hand. Now, here's the other thing that you need to do. You need to build your team. Yeah, you've got to build a team of qualified people around you. And you're going to have all these team members contributing their time and their talents to help you achieve what you're trying to achieve. All right. So who needs to be on the team? Well, I think the number one person that you need to put on your team after your mentor, a qualified real estate agent. Yes. And I'm going to suggest maybe they hold the realtor designation. I would tell you that you want to put a realtor on your team that understands investment property. Yeah. Investment property. You don't want a realtor on your team that specializes in high-end golf course homes. Why don't you want that person on your team? Because the type of asset that you're buying has nothing to do with their expertise in the marketplace. You want to find somebody with expertise in the marketplace. You also want to find somebody that can be both a buyer's agent when you're acting as a buyer and a seller's agent when you're acting as the seller. Now, why do you want this? Because you want a fiduciary obligation. You want somebody that's going to help you transact property that's not emotionally attached to it. I get emotionally attached. I know this is a flaw that I have. How do I overcome the flaw? I use a realtor because I can vent on my realtor. I can go, well, I think the buyer's trying to get better me. I don't really do that, but I'm just saying if I did, I could do that and I could do that to my realtor. And you know what my realtor would tell the buyer? Nothing, because they can't tell them anything that would materially harm me. That's what that fiduciary obligation is all about. Yeah, they've got to do everything that's in my best interest. Yeah. Now, they treat the other party to the transaction fairly. I mean, they have to do that. By law, they have to do that. But they don't go and tell the other part of the transaction that, hey, Al's losing his mind on this thing. He's like, he's afraid you're going to walk, but maybe you could lower, you know, you could come with a lower price or something. They don't do that. They don't do that. They would go in and they would say, Mr. Gordon has said that he's willing to entertain this price. That's it. Pure and simple. They don't need to know anything more. That's why they're a qualified member of my team. Now, who else needs to be on your team? How about a general contractor? Why would you have a general contractor on your team? Because a general contractor is going to be your eyes, ears, your voice, and your conscience, be it, on your property. They're the person that's going to be on your property day in and day out. They're the person that's going to be bringing in all the different trades to do the remediation on your property. They are your go-to person. They are the person you hold accountable for everything with regards to rehab on that property. Now, you can choose to be your own general contractor, in which case that's not a problem. You just have to make sure that you have more members on your team which do all the different trade work. So you're going to need a foundation person. You're going to need a roof person. You're going to need a HVAC person. You're definitely going to need a plumber. You might need a handyman. You might need that general contractor after all. I mean, there could be some bigger issues that you want to just have the peace of mind of having a general contractor on the project to do certain things for you. You're also going to have to have some different trades, maybe a cleaning person, maybe somebody that does yard cleanup, maybe somebody that trims back trees. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense to you. Okay, so really at that point, when you make the decision as to whether you want a general contractor or you're going to be your own general contractor, it just really boils down to how big your team has to expand to. Now, it's okay to have a general contractor on your team, even if you're planning to be the general contractor. Because like I pointed out, there could be a job that, you know, you just may say, I just don't have the time right now because I'm going to take my family on a 3-week vacation to Bermuda. So I don't have time to mess around with the property. So I need a general contractor there taking care of all the trades. Okay. Perfectly viable and valued. I can't even say it correctly. Perfectly good reason to use a general contractor. Having said that, you can still do the general contractor stuff from Bermuda. But just keep in mind, you might have to make a phone call once or twice a day just to keep everybody informed. Now, when you've got the right people on your team, and when those people feel empowered, and when you've let them know that they are a valuable member of your team, man, they go to work for you. They go to work for you. And they will get the job done. They normally come in right at budget or under budget, and that gives you good peace of mind. So what do you do with those people that are on your trades team once you've completed your project? Well, there's two things you can do. go buy another asset, in which case now you have work for them to go back and do. Or you could share the members of your team with other members of Lifestyles Unlimited that are looking for very specific people to do very specific work. And by doing so, you help out that member of the team because they get work that maybe they may not have received otherwise. And you're helping out a fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member because you had a good result with somebody. So you feel confident that you could pass that trade person over to your fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member with the recommendation that, hey, you know what? They did really good work for me. They came in on time, on budget, and I'm really happy with the results. Now, if somebody brought that to me, and let's say I'm looking for a concrete guy, okay? And I asked my fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members, and somebody brought me a concrete guy, and they go, Al, this guy's the guy. And I go, well, why do you say that? Well, here's why, Al. This guy has got 40 years in the industry. He's been in San Antonio for all 40 years. He does not only concrete, he does asphalt. He is specialized in that. He's a member of the Better Business Bureau. He has no complaints. He came in and bid the job for me. He did the job. He came in under budget, under time. I think you ought to use this guy. So you know who I'm using for concrete on the job that I'm doing right now? The guy that was recommended to me. And what I told you was the recommendations that were given to me about this particular individual. And you know what? I verified. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I verified. And you know what I found out? I found out the guy was legit. The guy was legit. Not only is he legit, he's humble. Not only is he humble, he's very, very dedicated to what he does for a living. Because in his own words, I want to be the best of the best. Wow. Right there and then, those words echo in my mind that I have found the right person to be on my team. So there you have it, folks. I mean, this is really the difference between failure and success. A proper education, having a mentor on your team, doing focused, targeted research on a targeted area that you want to invest in, building your team out, and then you got to get to work. You got to get to work finding the asset that's going to make the right difference for you and your family. When you find that asset and you acquire it, you'll have everything ready to go. You'll get that property renovated. You'll find a great property to put on the market for somebody to live in, and you'll start getting all the benefits of being in real estate. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.